So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show Special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
And welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Good to be with you, and thank you so much to our ever-growing audience who continues, J-Doc, to get educated, which is what our original mission is and what it continues today as we begin the month of March here in year 2024. Good morning or good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Joe, and you're right. Educating the public is important. Creating awareness and informing them on what's going on, because so many people don't understand these issues. A couple years back, and I'm actually looking at the interview right now, we had Pennsylvania State Rep. Martina White on the program, and we were talking about legislation that to study a new LNG export center at the port, okay, which is going to bring tons of jobs, do lots for a lot of our allies, you know, situations like that happened in the Ukraine, being able to support those situations so much, okay, of a need, you know, to create and develop a natural gas export terminal, okay? Well, okay, let's turn that around and a little update, okay? Recently, the president, okay, and the Department of Energy created a pause on LNG exports. Now, that's liquid natural gas, okay? Liquefied natural gas, okay? And, you know, it's going to impact us. So we've discussed the enormous potential for LNG, okay, on this show a lot. Okay, not only can it provide a lot more jobs in America throughout the Delaware Valley in Pennsylvania, but it's been critical to ensuring global energy security, particularly, like I said, after Russia's Ukraine invasion. Okay, we've also discussed how LNG here in PA and around the country, and this is a big one, can help reduce global emissions. Okay, despite all those massive benefits, the gas industry was thrown for a loop earlier this year when the president said he was going to institute a pause on approving new LNG export projects, okay? This would have significant ramifications for the future of Pennsylvania gas and union jobs, okay? And today we're going to dig into that action and what it means and whether there's anything we can do to potentially get this pause lifted in a timely manner. So lots to talk about.
Yeah, no doubt. An alert to the audience, a must listen or must watch edition of the Labor and Energy Show. If you miss any of it today, or if you want to go back and re-listen to it, of course, you can go to Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast and download this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause. Two great guests, J. Doc, coming up that are going to spend the next two segments with you talking about that very subject.
Well, I mean, we have John Bain, Director of Government Affairs for EQT Corporation, and Dave Callahan, President, Marcellus Shale Coalition. No strangers to the broadcast, regulars on the show. And man, we do have a lot to talk about, and the American people should be listening because it's going to impact every one of us.
This is the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause. We'll get started after the break.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at Retiree First.com.
Buying a car is a big decision. Makes, models, colors, cost. But soon enough, the government is going to make that decision for you. Delaware and New Jersey are on a collision course to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars. In 2035, you'll have no choice but to buy an electric vehicle in those states. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show with J. Dot Krause on Jacob Media Network. Like I said, we've got a phenomenal show. Two great guests, John Bain and Dave Callahan. Gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast.
Great to be here today.
It's our pleasure. And you know, in our intro, we talked about a little bit about what's going on. Okay. And so But I'd like you to do, when we introduce yourselves, for our new listeners, John, if you would, a little bit about yourself and who you represent.
Yes, sir. My name is, again, John Bain. I am the Director of Government Affairs at EQT Corporation. We're currently the number one producer of natural gas in the United States. We have some big goals ahead of us. We're going to hit net zero by 2025. Just a little background on our greenhouse gas emissions. Since 2005, we contributed to 5% of all reductions of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. To put that in perspective, total solar industry was under 8%. So EQT alone was 5%. And I bring that up because I know we're going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. So I just wanted to highlight that. But I'm glad to be here. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. And one more thing, I want to apologize that I couldn't get on camera today. I'm down in West Virginia at the Capitol. We have some big things going on down here. We did a press conference a few weeks ago on the LNG pause. And also the legislature did a resolution against the pause on LNG. So it's great to be here, guys.
Yeah, and it's great to have you, John. And one of the things before we bring in Dave, the 5% reduction, okay, in the big picture, why don't we hear about that, okay? Why isn't that on the front page, okay? The efforts that are being made by our traditional energy organizations and companies and industry on those reductions.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is, and we're seeing it more and more, and I'm sure, Dave, you'll agree with me that there is a vocal minority out there of well-funded individuals, and their goal is to silence the industry when it comes to all the good things that we're doing. And, you know, we have the facts, we have the data, we have all the figures that you need to look at. And we'll go into a room with some stakeholders who are on the opposite side of the fossil fuel industry. And it doesn't matter what we say, they are against everything that we do and everything we stand for. But I mean, we're the reason, the natural gas industry alone is the reason that the United States is, we're hitting our climate goals, lowering emissions. We're doing it bigger and better than ever. And, you know, now, again, the vocal minority, we're facing a crisis, which is the administration coming after our ability to export our product.
Yeah, I'd like to ask them some questions. I'm sure we'll get into that situation because it's a tone deaf situation. And again, we've been put in the Twilight Zone so often. This is another one of those times. Dave Callahan, if you would. Tell our listeners, our new listeners particularly, a little bit about yourself and the Marcellus Shale Coalition.
Sure. Thank you again. It's great to be with you and my colleague, John Bain. I'm president of the Marcellus Shale Coalition. We're a statewide trade association representing the entire industry here in Pennsylvania. So we're talking about producers, pipeline companies, processing companies, some downstream companies, and of course, all those companies and entities that provide goods and professional services to the industry. And I'm darn proud that among those members in that group, we count a number of construction trade unions, folks who do great work, on-time work, safe work, and also walk the halls of the Capitol, help write letters on energy issues. It's a great partnership. And let me just say one quick thing to kind of follow up on your conversation with John about EQT's 5% reduction and about, you know, kind of these false narratives that have been built up and perpetuated against this industry. That shows the very great importance of this radio show and podcast. It's reaching out to people directly so that they can make up their own minds. And I can't thank you enough for, I guess, John and I have been on individually in tandem handful of times for each of us. We appreciate each and every opportunity to speak to the listeners.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. And certainly it's important for us to educate the public, keep them aware of these issues, so many of them that are impacting them and us every day. Many of the decisions that are being made now, okay, or a lot of the decisions that are going to take effect even years down the road are being made now. And so we appreciate, your willingness get on and discuss the issues. So this LNG issue and the pause on it is right at the forefront. So last year, okay, U.S. LNG, as we jump right into it, was literally Europe's savior, okay? American gas protected Europe from massive energy disruptions associated with Russia's Ukraine invasion and the Nord Stream pipeline bombing. Okay, the president touted the ability of U.S. gas producers to help secure the world in the face of the Russian aggression. Okay, that's why this latest move is such a head scratcher. Okay, before getting into this pause on LNG permits, let's look at the big picture. Okay, how much natural gas is the U.S. producing? How much does it consume? And how much is it currently exporting?
I'll give you simple answers. We're not going to talk a million cubic feet or anything like that. Sure. We have more than 100 years of supply available to us, in particular in this basin, the number one producing basin in the country, and one of the leaders in the world as well. We produce more than we need and use here in this country, so much so that in 2016, we started exporting natural gas to countries who wanted clean fuel, a reliable source of fuel, wanted to break free from energy poverty as well. So, you know, we had a few facilities in this country, one in particular that I'm aware of in Maryland, that was built to import natural gas when we were in a position of weakness, when we weren't energy secure. Thanks to the shale revolution, thanks to the great resource that we have under our feet, the great workforce, we're able to export gas to the world because we have more than what we need right here. We can support our allies, support them economically, support them environmentally, and of course, support their national security.
So, you think about, okay, the importance of, LNG to Europe. Okay. You think about what happened in the Ukraine. Okay. And the ability for us to support our allies. Okay. In the face of, like we mentioned, the Russian aggression. Okay. This is an incredible head scratcher. Okay. And, you got to wonder what message it sends, not only to us around the country. Okay. But, around the globe. John Bain, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean the issue is last year, I believe it was half of our LNG exports went to European countries. And I've said this before, I've said it as recently as yesterday down here in West Virginia. While people don't think about, and, we're talking about the benefits to the climate, but when you look at this on the world scale, I would say, in the last 100 years, how many wars have we had where the major weapon was energy? And that's what we're looking at today, is basically weaponizing energy, taking clean American energy out of the mix, forcing other countries to rely on not so friendly countries that could easily hit the switch, turn off their energy, and it becomes a national security issue, immediately in those countries. And furthermore, when you're looking at the emissions reduction side of things, people are being forced to use sources of energy. I mean, my boss talks about this frequently. There's some countries where they're forced to use dung as their energy. I mean, that's unacceptable. So not only are we causing an energy national security problem, but we're causing a quality of life problem, because the stats show that the less access you have to energy, the worse off you will be as an individual.
When you think about just adding two and two, okay, and a disconnect, we talk about jobs, okay. I was thinking about it recently, okay, because of course part of our labor and energy initiative is jobs, and of course our energy security. One of the disconnects that people need to just put two and two together is that we're not only losing our jobs, we're giving them to people in other countries. We're just giving them away. just so everybody understands, somebody is going to have these jobs. Somebody overseas who has less standards, environmental standards, efficiency standards. Okay, not to mention you know, the resources and everything that we're giving up. Dave, is that one of the more frustrating things that, you know, goes through your mind so on a daily basis? The people around the country think that emissions, we've already done a great, you know, natural gas is such a part of reducing the emissions. However, we're willing to give these our resources and jobs overseas where they don't have the same standards.
You're absolutely right. You know, to the point about demand as well, I saw estimates from Shell that say that demand for liquefied natural gas or gas exports is supposed to go up 40% by 2050. Where's that gas going to come from? If we shut off the spigot here in the United States on new facilities, whether it's in Philadelphia or elsewhere, where are they going to get that gas? To your point, it's going to be from other nations that don't have the strong environmental standards that we have. A good example of that is we did a calculation a year or two ago showing that American natural gas is up to 65% cleaner in terms of methane emissions compared to Russian gas. So where are they going to get that gas? Where is it going to come from? Who's going to produce it? And if you think about the other situations that are going on in the world, are you going to ship natural gas through the Red Sea? Is that going to be a reliable way to get it to you? Now, it's no offense against those companies and countries who are doing it, but Europe needs reliable supply. Europe needs it now. They're not only afraid of the tanks rolling in Ukraine, they're afraid of the weaponized energy, where they're going to get it from. How are their folks going to stay warm? How are they going to keep their economies going? We're the source of that. We have the ability to help them. We have the ability to ensure that they can proceed and they don't have to worry about their energy security or national security. And again, those jobs are very important here. You know, Europe, when they face these situations, they change their regulations. They speeded up permit processes to build more facilities to import. And so what is our reaction to that? Stopping it, shutting down the permit process, dampening long-term prospects for jobs unless it's reversed.
Well, one of the things I would say to our listeners is, you know, one of the points, of course, you know, we represent a big labor contingent, but make no mistake about it, we're not trading jobs for the environment, not at all. Our jobs and what we do here are so much more efficient than what goes on overseas. Those jobs are going overseas. But, you know, we're not shutting jobs down and then all of a sudden the environment's going to, you know, the emissions are going to improve. So that's important for people to understand that we're not just sitting here caring about jobs and not our emissions. OK, those jobs are going somewhere else. And those standards emission reductions are nowhere near what ours are in the United States. But having said that, let's segue a little bit. OK, in terms of LNG exports. OK, and I'll go to Dave first and then John. What's the process for getting approvals from the Department of Energy to export LNG?
Well, from what I understand, it's a two-part process. You first need to get an approval from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC. You've heard us talk about them before in talking about pipelines and infrastructure. And then it goes to the Department of Energy for an additional approval. And it could take a while. And you, in the meantime, while permits sit and wait and perhaps sit for a long time, you've got investment. You have people who want to get a return on that investment. You have workers who are counting on going to work and putting food on the table from doing the work. So it's an incredibly long delay. It's an arduous process to get a permit to begin with. And what the federal government has done that with a stroke of the pen, just like the president eliminated thousands of jobs associated with Keystone XL on the first day, with the stroke of a pen, he's delaying, if not freezing out, additional export facilities in this country for an indeterminate period.
John, if you want to weigh in there.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I think Dave's spot on. When you look at the permitting process, what Dave's talking about is the permitting process on the federal level for LNG exports. What people don't realize, and Dave, I know you know more about this. We could talk about it for days, but the permitting process on the state level is arduous, and it's hard enough. And LNG exports, you're going to have to look at moving natural gas to LNG export facilities, which we are moving gas to the Gulf Coast now. We have some agreements in place where we'll be getting into the LNG business ourselves here at EQT. But to move gas, you need pipelines. And right now, we can't build a pipeline in this country. It took an act of Congress to complete the Mountain Valley Pipeline. They're just being blocked. So we can't move our natural gas, which is a major problem. And then it trickles down to who in their right mind would want to invest in a natural gas pipeline project, and who in their right mind at this point would put capital into an LNG export facility. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Joe, I think, you know, from an education standpoint, you know, John pointed out something important. And that is for listeners in Pennsylvania to know that Pennsylvania natural gas is being exported, whether it's going to Maryland or making its way down to the Gulf Coast. You know, Pennsylvania before the shale revolution produced less than 25% of the gas it consumes. So a lot of the gas came up through these massive pipelines from the Gulf Coast. Thanks to the incredible production that we have here now, some of those pipelines have been reversed. And we're now feeding gas from Pennsylvania down into the Southeast and down into the Gulf Coast, which allows companies like John's to reach those markets in Europe. It's fascinating and it's incredible. It shows the pure strength of the play here in Pennsylvania and its great impact.
You know, you mentioned, you know, as we talk about, and that's great to hear, but when you mentioned permitting, and we've talked about permitting reform so much, and you know, as you really, if you think about it, I mean, what's safer than a pipeline? I mean, we have some great Teamsters, and I really appreciate them. But driving fuel with a truck or on a train, as compared to on a pipeline, you know, through a pipeline, you know, for safety purposes, okay. But these permitting processes can take up to 8 to 10 years, right? Sometimes for a permit, you know, and then you have our foreign entities, you know, cutting their permitting time, doing everything they can to shut us down. It reminds me in some cases of what's going on with the setbacks here in PA, right? You know, it's a backhanded way to shut us down. You know, they're not going to go head on head. So they're going to expand the distances for the natural gas wells. So, you know, they get you in the permitting process. They get you, you know, you're not allowed to, you can't build a pipeline. Okay. You know, so it's just a backhanded way of shutting things down. And really the general public doesn't really understand it. So obviously that's why we're here. Before we go to break. Okay. Do we actually have any free trade agreements at this time with any of the European countries that have been the largest LNG buyers?
John, do you know? I honestly don't know, but I do recall meeting a couple of weeks ago with folks from the European Commission, and that issue was raised, and I don't believe so, but don't quote me on that. John may know.
Yeah, so right now the U.S., it's my understanding we have comprehensive free trade agreements in force with 20 countries, and I do not believe we have any in place with European countries right now.
Okay, so you know, at this point, we have, you know what, we're going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, okay, because we have so much more to talk about on this issue. And I want the listeners to understand what's going on. You know, we talk about common sense and energy, right? Here's a prime example. We're going to have more from the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Tom Lee Hockey has become part of our morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind us, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond LaHockey Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show with Jay Dott and Krause. Great conversation talking about the pause on LNG exports by the administration. And we're happy to have Dave Callahan, President Marcellus Shale Coalition, and John Bain, Director of Government Affairs for EQT Corporation. Gentlemen, with you know, the setup that we've just talked about, okay, you know, you have, with that background, and I'll go to John on this one, explain to us what the administration is actually proposing with the export license pause. What is the pause?
The pause right now is the president has come out and is doing a temporary pause on pending approvals for liquefied natural gas exports, as we've been discussing here. And these are to non-FTA countries until the Department of Energy can update their analysis for authorizations. So they're doing an environmental review of the LNG process, to just give it to you at a 30,000 foot level. I believe this was done under the Trump administration and under the Obama administration. And there were not any environmental problems or impacts identified from exporting liquefied natural gas.
So would impact existing exports?
Well, right now it is not going to impact existing exports, but it will will impact exports from new LNG projects that have been proposed. So it will not disrupt projects that are under construction. But I mean, to keep in mind, the demand for LNG overseas is not going down, it's only going up. So right now we're stuck in this holding pattern where, yes, we can certainly export LNG as we speak right now, but you know, you can only export so much. So as demand goes up, their supply is going to go down.
So here's a question. Is this actually legal, John?
You know, that's something that I know members of Congress have been talking about. It reminds me sort of Governor Wolf's REGI decision,
right?
Where he unilaterally put us into REGI. As you guys know, that's still up in the air as to whether or not we're going to enter. But this is similar. It's sort of a gray area. So Congress is trying to identify whether or not they can exercise the Congressional Review Act authority that they have, which allows them to undo certain regulations. I know that happened early on in the Biden administration, where they rolled back, where they undid some of the rollbacks on methane emissions that were put into place under the Trump administration. So I think the best way, because I know you have a lot of viewers who have heard a lot about REGI, is to sort of explain it in that same manner.
And we've seen in within recent weeks the passage of legislation in the U.S. House to strip permitting authority from the Department of Energy and have it rest in the hands of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And obviously that's now in the Senate, and I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, despite the fact that there's opposition to the president's move, to the president's action on both sides of the political aisle. That's something that we can't forget. That's something that we need to realize. This, just as our energy source is something that's supported by both sides of the political aisle, this action to limit the availability of this great energy source and help the national energy security of our allies, that is opposed. The action by the Biden administration is opposed by both sides of the political aisle.
And you're supposed to be required to get congressional approval, correct? To be able to take this action on, Dave?
Certainly. I believe someone has filed. I wouldn't call it a lawsuit, but there's been something filed with the Department of Energy by a national trade organization asking for reconsideration according to their regulatory requirements. And of course, there's legislative action. But again, the president did it with the stroke of a pen. He can undo it with the stroke of a pen. He could do it today.
So is there a climate review process for this pause? And what might that look like?
You know, it's a bit of a black box. You know, they said, or the White House announced that there would be a review. There would be a process. There would be the opportunity for public comments. But we've yet to see anything, you know, providing more details on what that looks like. You know, John is aware we've already stepped up as an organization. A number of other organizations have stepped up with letters to the Department of Energy, to Secretary Granholm, and to members of our congressional delegation, pointing out the reckless nature of this move and how Europe needs and the rest of the world needs natural gas. And this sends the absolutely wrong message.
And so we talked a little bit about, how much LNG the U.S. is currently exporting, just a general sense. But do we have any idea how many export projects are currently being planned and what, and I don't mean exactly, okay, but the volume of gas of those exports?
I believe there's well over a dozen facilities that, or a dozen permits, maybe up to 18, that are caught in this limbo. So The exact quantity that might be involved, I don't know. Maybe John knows, but significant.
John?
Yeah, I believe you're right, Dave. As of right now, I know that there are currently five under construction. So again, under construction, they won't be impacted. But as Dave said, if we're talking, you know, north of 15 projects that are going to be blocked, I mean, that's a lot. That's a problem. I believe last year we exported around 20 BCF a day. And that number, people are clamoring for our natural gas. And, you know, we're going to get to the point where we can't get it to them.
We touched on it a little earlier, but our European allies, how have they reacted to this? Okay. Obviously, given the importance that LNG is to them for keeping their economies running. John?
Yeah, as far as the reaction, it's kind of been a mixed bag, and I'll tell you why. When you look at some other countries, they have bad climate policies in place that, frankly, you know, they can't keep their lights on because they're trying too quickly to transition to alternative sources of energy. So we've heard from some of those countries saying, well, everything's going to be fine. You know, they claim that they'll have 10 years worth of import capacity. Well, 10 years isn't a long time. And, you know, if we get to that point, you're saying 10 years is fine. Well, yeah, it might be fine if you're 90 years old. You might not be worrying about 10 years down the road. But I would say that the folks on this call, 10 years isn't going to cut it. And if I lose my natural gas at my house in 10 years, I'm going to be upset because I just put it in a furnace and it wasn't cheap.
No question about it.
Joe, we heard from the European Union directly and through various media outlets. I'm going to change up the quote a little bit. But this major official from the European Union said, America guarantees the energy security of the world. Now, we do that through our exports. And we can't put it into words any more plainly. The national security of the world is at stake with this move.
And that's why I ask about the message, okay, and what's going on here and everything that's going on in our country to shut ourselves down, okay? And, you know, it's why I've said 1,000 times, and Look, I want the listeners to understand this. Sometimes it can get kind of complicated. I'll tell you why it can get real complicated, because the message you're getting from the administration, okay, would lead a lot of people to think that this is absolutely necessary. And, you know, that it's, the environment is the most important. And of course, we all agree the environment's incredibly important. But there are common sense situations here that, you know, are putting a lot of people, our energy security at risk. And like you just said, Dave, the world's energy security. So let's transition a little bit, okay, to Pennsylvania. Okay, what about some of the LNG projects that have been discussed here in Pennsylvania? We had, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Martina White, State Representative Martina White, on a couple, it was actually a couple years ago in 2022, talking about a study and legislation to do a study at the Philly port. Okay, and so there's a lot of projects being discussed here. Okay, how does that impact what's going on in PA? Okay, because we had a lot going on, Dave.
Well, certainly anybody who wants to propose to do something like this is certainly still free and capable of submitting that first permit to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But they have to understand that anything beyond that point is unknown. So that's kind of where it would stand in terms of the impact of this action by the Biden administration on any project around the Philadelphia region. And mind you, John knows this better than anyone. You know, having an outlet closer to the basin here to complement what we already have in Maryland is an absolute game changer for Pennsylvania's economy, for the world's economy, and for Pennsylvania and the world's environmental future as well.
John?
Yeah, Dave, you're spot on. And, you know, even before this announcement, it's a long shot at best to get a project over the finish line. And Pennsylvania has been very difficult. You know, and again, I'll shift back to the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which is a multi-state project, which was nearly impossible to complete. But even in Pennsylvania, we've seen projects being canceled. There was a LNG facility proposed in Wyalusing, Pennsylvania, that was shut down. And also in Renova, Pennsylvania, there was a natural gas-fired power plant that was shut down. And guess who wanted that power plant? The people that live there. Guess who didn't want it? People who don't even know where Renova is. I've been there many a times with my fishing rod, and I know exactly where it is, and I know they can use the jobs up there.
Yeah, no question about it. Sean Steffi, who's on our board, as you know, has talked about it many times, okay? Mm-hmm. Individuals coming out extreme far, environmental, you know, extremists coming into towns. By the way, it's exactly what happened here in Philly with the PES refinery, where individuals who live nowhere near, South Philadelphia were coming into the neighborhood, into a neighborhood whose livelihoods largely depended on that refinery. There were no, existing issues. They had one. They did have a fire in one of the units, which was contained. It did damage on that unit, but nobody was injured. And these individuals came in and they caused so much ruckus that our policymakers ran for cover. I obviously we're talking about Pennsylvania, and so and we talked a little bit about the investment in energy projects and natural gas projects and LNG projects across the country. But I guess it's a no-brainer when you talk about the prospects for investment in potential Pennsylvania LNG exports. Might as well touch on it. Dave, what does it do for the prospects of investment when we talk about PA and LNG exports?
Sure. I guess it's good to just set the baseline first. We commissioned an economic study that showed that the industry in 2022 alone supported 123,000 jobs, average wage of around $97,000 a year, $41 billion in economic activity overall, $3.2 billion in state and local taxes. That's the baseline. That's the bang for the buck that Pennsylvania is getting right now from this industry. You put together an export facility, and you'll see those numbers obviously improve. I think the commission that you already mentioned from State Representative Martina White showed thousands of jobs, tremendous economic opportunities available regionally and statewide resulting from a facility to export natural gas overseas.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, when I think about this, and Dave and John, you had mentioned that when you're in a room with individuals, okay, no matter what your progress has been in emissions and obviously the primary purpose for that, you know, a reduction of emissions in the United States over the last 15 years has been natural gas. And you say, you know, you're talking, you know, it's like going into deaf ears. My question is, and you know, just so I assume I'm going to get in one of those rooms, you know, sooner than later, I'm not going to have anything to say but ask questions. I want to hear, you know, what their plans are in regards to how you're going to replace this. Where are the jobs going? Okay, I want to ask the questions. Okay, I can't wait to hear the answers. Okay, because if any of them make sense, okay, it's an overall destruction in a sense in our way of life. You know, we talk about the average jobs lost. Okay. In regards to, or you know, the average LNG export operation, how many jobs does it support? Okay, we talk about the impact there. Okay, when you think about it, okay, energy security, jobs, massive. Okay, overseas, we're shipping them overseas, because like I said, they're not going to die here, and natural gas is you know, it's going to be non-existent, or any other type of energy that we're talking about, other people are going to pick that up. Okay. Why is the administration doing this? And I'll ask John Boehner that question.
Yeah, honestly, I have no idea. It is one of the most short-sighted things that I've seen come out of an administration in quite a long time. I mean, the world is missing its climate goals. And if we had the ability to export more LNG, the rest of the world will lower their emissions as we did in the United States, and will hit climate goals. And I think, as you said, you want to get in that room. What people in that room don't understand is that ramping up LNG exports between now and, let's say, 2040 is going to kick off a process that will allow for a phase two of optimization where we can ramp up deployment of renewables, but support it by a natural gas baseload. We're giving them the tool that they need in their toolbox to hit. Hey, I mean the activists who we're referencing. We have the ability to give them everything they need to lower emissions across the globe. And that's what people don't understand, and they don't want to hear it.
You know, our Energy Education and Awareness Initiative and now the Labor and Energy Alliance, our whole initiative is based on common sense, and but also working together, okay, towards common goals. I would say this, when, you know, I got into this, you know, with, you know, obviously wanting to be educated from the labor side, okay? I could have gone either way, okay, understanding. I can tell you this, since we brought this, since we started this broadcast and our board of directors and all the experts we've had on these shows, okay, I can't tell you how many of our energy sector leaders, in many cases, are more environmentalists than they are organizational heads. I literally have been incredibly impressed at the commitment, which is why it's so confusing. Okay, working together for common goals here would be huge. There's a petition going around, obviously, asking the DOE to reverse this pause. Any shot at this pause being reversed and their decision? You know, what are your thoughts on that, Dave?
Boy, if I had a crystal ball, right? but to get back to your question of John, why? This was political. It's meant to get through the election. So if that's their intent, despite the heat that they're getting from both sides of the political aisle, I don't know if we see any real possibility of doing anything or having anything change. It's darn disappointing to think of it that way, but and for our allies to realize that this was done primarily for internal political reasons, their security's at risk. I to your point, you scratch your head over this.
Gentlemen, we only have about a minute left. What can the American people do, okay? To voice their opinion, our listeners, of course, to help turn the tide here and help bring an end to this LNG export pause. Let me go to John first and then Dave.
Yeah, I think advocacy is critical. Reach out to your federal elected officials. Reach out to, I should say write a letter, but I guess I'm getting old. Send an email to the White House. I mean, this comes down to one thing that I don't think the administration sees is there are in Pennsylvania, which is a swing state. I'll get a little political here. There are over 100,000 men and women in the building trades, right? President Biden, I believe, won Pennsylvania by 80,000 votes. Why would you make a decision that is going to take away good paying jobs, high wages, and stifle, other countries' abilities to take advantage of our natural gas? So I don't understand it, but I'll kick it over to Dave for a little commentary as well.
Take us home, Dave.
No, John, you nailed it. It comes down to advocacy, contacting your federal officials, asking them, urging them to take action, not just expressing your opposition to this reckless move, but urging them to take action to do something about it. That's what it comes down to. These folks need to hear from the folks that they represent.
And I'll leave it at this. Our energy security, the world's energy security, our jobs, okay, and the environment as well, okay, because natural gas is such, a big part of reducing the emissions. Gentlemen, Dave Callahan, President Marcellus Shale Coalition, John Bain, Director of Government Affairs, EQT Corporation, as always, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast, and thanks for the information. I mean, it's so important for our listeners to understand it. We appreciate your time, gentlemen.
Can't thank you
very
enough.
Much. Appreciate it.
We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show with Jay Dott and Krause in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EASCarpenters. Carpenters.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show with Jay Dott and Krause. We want to thank Dave Callahan and John Payne for joining us on the broadcast. This conversation about the pause on LNG exports, just another example of what's going on throughout our country, not working together, okay? Not, you know, really looking at common sense and energy and the fact that working together on these issues, okay, when it comes to lowering emissions, energy security, and our jobs, okay, not shipping our jobs overseas, okay, and looking at the impacts, the consequences of our actions. We implore the Department of Energy to reconsider this. It is certainly, you know, it's confusing. We just want to work together. And so having said that, I want to thank Dave Callahan and John Bain for joining us on the program. On behalf of Krause and myself, we appreciate all of our listeners tuning into the Labor and Energy Show. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. But you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.